Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets, of writers, of creative people, of a family that join together across all the continents to share in their love of the written word and in spoken word art. Welcome home. Welcome to the Hard Stop, home of the Hard Stop of music. And welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the June 7th, 2019 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. Sitting across from me is the man who keeps everything moving. Very, very nicely indeed, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I know that... Okay, stuff's just... for those of you who...
Sorry, I'm just going to destroy stuff.
Oh, was that you? Okay, I thought things just started falling on the other side of the room, and that was a little disturbing to me. So we're back, and we're so happy to be here and ready to kick off another kind of run of shows. It's been kind of stop and go here for the last month or so.
It's kind of felt that way, yeah. And I don't like that, but I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's life happens like this, right?
Unfortunately, it does.
But when you do a show like this, sometimes things happen. You know, I've had car accidents on the night of a show.
Right.
I remember coming over one time, and you and Christine were so sick. It was just. It was one of those things where we got to call it. You know, so we've had a couple things like that. But here we are. We're back.
Yes.
And
yes.
We're so happy that you're joining us as well. This is the beginning of a new month as well, which means, of course, we're going to have our fabulous After Dark segment after the show. I totally did that. Just oh, yeah.
Thanks.
You weren't ready for that one, were you?
No.
See
no,
that?
I was not.
See
Thank
that?
You. That's well
cool.
done.
All right. And... Now I'm going to do what you think I'm going to do. And we also have three new clues for our June 2019 Poet of the Month. For all of those of you joining us, just so you know, after I say every segment, JT has a theme to play. For instance, this disclaimer about him having things to play. Yeah, that's not annoying at all. All right, so we also have coming up in the second segment our poetic form of the month. Dude, it's... Anyway, JT, what's going on in your world, man? What's new with you?
Honestly, nothing much. It's kind of... Falling right back into its routine. School has officially ended for
good
both
for
of
you.
Us.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, grades are finalized. I'm not doing classes this summer. Thank God. it's just falling into a nice rhythm.
Which I know is something, you know, we're both people who like routine.
Yeah.
And I think we like routine not because we're boring. But we like routine because the routine gives us a framework in which we can do interesting stuff. And we're not, like, having to deal with ridiculousness.
Yes, yeah. Very much so.
See, I think a lot of people don't get that. When we talk about how we love routine, they're like, that's so boring. No,
no.
It's really not. I promise. It's good. So what did you do last Friday when we weren't on the air? What did you guys do?
So when we were not on the air, Christine and I were at Comic-Con during the day, and then we went and saw the new Godzilla movie.
Ah, yes.
And that is Godzilla movie. So what you would expect out of a Godzilla movie.
That's what you get.
That's what you get.
With
you get
this Godzilla movie.
Monsters.
Okay.
Fighting monsters. And some dialogue in between. It is what it is. Whether it's good dialogue or not, doesn't matter.
Is it overhyped at all?
No.
No, I mean, like, yeah.
Like, as far as the...
Well, no, I'm thinking more like, you know, the world now is so overhyped. I'm actually excited when I see something actually worth hyping about.
You know, I did not see a lot of the push for Godzilla like I would have for Avengers or anything like that.
Absolutely,
it was more of, you know, they kept showing the same kind of commercial trailer for it. I thought it was perfect because you got to see Godzilla charge another monster.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great because you're like, where is that in the movie? And then it happens, you're like, oh, there's a lot more than just...
Are they slow motion running at each other for 5 minutes?
Yes, totally.
That's fantastic.
No.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy to hear that.
what did you do?
So I sang at the 8th grade graduation of Notre Dame. That's the highest grade that we have. And it's something that my mother and I have done. She plays piano, and I sang. I did this long before I even taught there. So we've been doing this for 12 years or something like that.
Wow.
So we did that, and that was you know, great. And that basically took basically the whole evening. I didn't go see a Godzilla movie, but I just finished today, my last day.
Uh-huh.
At, I've just finished my last day at school. Notre Dame, not just for the summer, but forever, because I'm officially kind of making the move into music, teaching music lessons, performing music, writing. And I've kind of done that before, but this time I think it's quite a bit different. There's some different momentum in line, and there's different partnerships and things are working out. And so I've been building up to this for a while. So I feel like it's also more possible with, like, earning money on the side if you really have to. You know what I mean? Like Lyft or Uber or whatever. I mean, any of those things are doable. So I'm basically, in a way, without actually burning bridges, because I'm not actually burn bridge kind of guy, I'm internally burning the bridges saying I'm not going to go back to being the me on just nights and weekends, which is fine, but I'm going full Michael Amade.
Awesome.
Which, as they tell you, is a good thing to do if you've ever seen Tropic Thunder. So the very quickly, we're going to get into the show here in just a moment, so I appreciate everyone listening here. One thing I want to throw out really quick, JT, talking about the hype thing.
Yes.
Today, I get an article sent alert on my phone, a news alert. Now, I don't really look at news alerts anymore, but I see a chilling encounter by Russian and U.S. warship. I'm like, wow. Oh. So I look in the subheadline, and it says, I think, chilling footage as a Russian warship passes within mere feet of a U.S. destroyer. And so I see it. Now, apparently, the warship actually did have to kind of divert its course and make an evasive maneuver, which basically means they turn the steering wheel like that.
Yeah.
And so it's this chilling footage. You know what I saw? I saw two groups of people on fancy boats about 50 to 60 yards apart, on the deck, watching each other.
Oh, nice.
And I understand that that's a little, you know, that's a little invasive to do that and try to make, you know, at the same time. JT, chilling footage as a Russian warship passes within feet. And they're acting like Russians are aliens. Are we people? Are we not men? No, we are.
Well said, sir. Well said.
So, at any rate, the thing I like about this show is that we're not about these kinds of things. We're engaged as people, as poets, as artists. I'm so happy that you're joining us here this evening, and I'm going to start getting into how this show is about you and your work, not about us just talking about ourselves like so many other shows are out there. The way this show is going to work is we're about to, in a moment, we will announce we're going to have a call-in segment. Now, the people get picked up in the order in which the calls are received. Once we have five unique callers, we'll announce it in the chat room, and that means that that segment's full. So we'll listen to those five. Then we will do another call-in segment. We'll have another five callers. Now, if we deem that there's enough traffic, we can kind of see it, and we think there might be a third segment in line, then we'll choose to do that. A lot of times it's two, so we'll just kind of play by ear. You're guaranteed two segments. And then after that, we will go to what's called the return engagement, which means anyone can call back in and read another piece, or you can even call for the first time and read one poem there. We will end the show, World Poetry Open Mic, proper there. We will indicate the beginning of the one-off segment called After Dark, which is more adult-themed poetry, and we do it once a month. But we do definitely want to draw a very clear line, so anybody who's offended by that stuff or any families who are listening, they have a chance to get off the air before we get down with After Dark, if you know what I'm talking about. It does not happen like that, but, you know. I think it's overselling it slightly, JT. At any rate, let me get into the rules here. I'm just kind of getting back into practice. Rule number one, no hate speech. We don't do it on the show. We never will. We do reserve the right if it starts. We think it is hate speech. We will cut it off unapologetically. Rule number two, please skew PG-13 if you can, just because in case we have, you know, families listening, we want to be able to foster the love of art here. However, if it is art, we're also not in the business of censorship. So if you got a really good flow going, if it's an artistic thing, it's being used well, we might not jump in. However, if it, you know, feels more like an After Dark thing, we also reserve the right to just kind of pop in and be like, hey, could you guys read, could you read a little bit, you know, later on the After Dark segment, this piece? You know, we might just do that. Number three, when we come on the line, please be prepared with your poem, just out of respect for the poets who are waiting. Rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. Once again, just a respect thing. And then the last rule is for JT and I. It's basically, we love your comments. We love your suggestions. We really do value them. When we're doing the show, it's really hard to take them all. It's really hard to take them all and have them in our back of our heads and write them down because we're doing so many things. So if you have a suggestion, if you have a comment, we do want to hear them. Send it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. And also, you could do it also in the contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net. All right. That's enough of me talking. We're getting ready to go into the first segment. The number to call to get in to be one of the first five is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back here in the first segment. We've got some awesome, awesome stuff lined up for you in this segment. And by the way, I'm going to put this in the chat room as well. Gumji, if you are listening, your call drops. So we're going to have you call back after Mama Ola Deji is on. And then that way we will get you onto the show. We'll just take your call live. It'll all work just fine. All right. But first of all, we are going to go to the man who's been with us since the second week of our show. And this is a long time now. JT, we're starting to get closer, man. It's advancing. How far away are we from 7 years?
Oh, like barely any months.
It's very, very close, huh?
Yes.
All right. So, I think this is there's just so much stuff going on around here. I just don't even know what's happening anymore. All right. So, we're just going to go right away. Let's go right into it. I don't want to waste any more time. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Good evening, Dennis.
Good evening. Welcome back. You sure were missed.
Hey, but, you know, we missed it.
It's great to have you back.
Hey, I'm really happy to be back. I know JT is, too. I was last week, right around this time, I was standing up in front of a bunch of people singing really loud church music, and JT was watching Godzilla, which is basically, that describes us pretty well, I think.
I think it bounced out pretty well.
Yeah, this is what we call varied tastes.
What a balanced host of we have here.
Exactly.
Balanced team.
There you go. That's what we need. Someone's thinking about strategy here. I wish it was me. All right. So Dennis, how about you? How's everything going?
I've been thinking going great. I've spent the last 3 or 4 days up north fishing.
Oh, great.
And went on a fishing trip, and it was a wonderful experience.
Oh, I bet. That sounds great. Well, let's do this then. Let's kick it back in style here, and why don't you share what you brought for us?
All right. Well, I decided to read a cover poem tonight. I was into the website, the Facebook page of the Friends of World Poetry Open Mic, and I ran across this author and that had posted work there, and he is a friend of the show, and he is from Nigeria. His name is Arizno Nwankwo Isaiah, and I'm going to read one of his poems tonight.
Wonderful.
So the title of his poem is Audacity. It's a poem by Arizno Nwankwo Isaiah. Come, let us double think, triple think if need be, and renovate heaven, you cowards of the earthly order. Come, let us adjust the stars and brighten the flames of hell, you cowards of the earthly order. Come, let us grab the devil and fix a new tail on him and make him useful to us all as beings. Come and dance with me around the temple gates and ward off cowardice in you, and we shall make merry. Smiles shall swim in you for infinity. If we renovate heaven and brighten the flames of hell, for the devil a new tail will have, and stars will be adjusted, and we shall smile for infinity. A poem by Arizno Nwankwo Isaiah, a poet and friend of WPOM from Nigeria. And this poem was read by permission of the author.
Fantastic. Dennis, thank you for showcasing him. And, you know, there's a lot of poets who are in that group that aren't really, you know, aren't necessarily as active on the show. So I'm so happy you brought someone forward there. I think, you know, now that I'm out of Notre Dame, I think I'm going to have a bit more time to dedicate to some things like that. I really want to start building that community as well and kind of filter it in.
Well, I wish you the very best on your new adventures.
Thank you.
I know that they will be grand, and I know you will succeed anything you try, because you are just that kind of person to step out and just do it. Not think about it so much, but just do it. that's wonderful. I like that spirit.
Well, thank you, Des. I will take that in the best way I could take. You're the kind of guy.
I didn't mean to say you don't plan. I understand you plan.
No, I'm kidding, Dennis.
I
thank you.
I like your adventures, your spirit of adventure, and you don't let things slow you down. You just be the best Michael Amadei you can be, and it will always be great.
I appreciate that very much, sir. Thank you so much for your encouragement. It does mean a lot. It really does.
Well, we appreciate you both, and I just need to reiterate that often, because sometimes we forget to say that. But thanks again for this platform. Thanks again for allowing me to read this evening and share another poet's work. And I will be back in the return engagement. And thank you. And I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic. And I'm going to say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan there. He was leading us off here in this first segment, as he often does. Now, we've shared a meal with Dennis.
Yes.
And it was
a
great time. And coincidentally, just a few weeks ago,
yes,
we got to share another wonderful meal with our next caller, who also happens to be in Michigan,
with
George. Good evening, George.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, good to hear your voice. How's everything over there?
things are good in Michigan. The sun shone. It surprised us all and made a rare appearance. I took the time to build a little miniature Stonehenge in my yard because it may be a while before I can sight my future.
And you know what? Don't underestimate the power of a henge to keep the people guessing. You know, I think that's really
especially a henge of stone.
Yes.
You know,
cardboard hinges is pretty obvious, but a stone henge.
Yes. I'm going to read a poem by Susanna Bailey.
Oh, wonderful.
Who you have read one of hers too. Just a quick thing. Susanna lives in Australia, but has spent a lot of her time in the UK. This one she wrote, I don't know when she wrote it, but I gave him permission to read it tonight. It's called Liverpool Winter. One night in that harsh winter, during the iron grip of the Thatcher years, you dragged your cold sorrow into my room seeking warmth. You pawed your way under my blankets, curled up like a stray, and slept. My pre-dawn fingers traced the possibilities as our breath froze in fractal ferns on the windows. The postman arrived, not whistling, but bearing 10 pounds from home. For the heating, it said. I looked at the dark heater, the filament blown by a touch from your knife. You said it was easier to slip under the skin if the knife was hot. Through the long winter, the frost thickened on the glass, all delicacy lost under your blunt fingers. The postman did not call again, and when the thaw came, you melted away. End of poem by Susanna Bailey.
Good piece.
Yeah.
I like that.
Great job, Susanna, and great read, George.
Well, thank you very much. I sure hope she gets to hear it.
I hope so as well. But I love seeing other poets kind of sharing and exposing the work of others as well. You know, I think it shows a lot of the commitment and kind of focus on the community.
Exactly. Glad to do it.
All right.
Okay.
All right, George. Thank you.
Take care. I'll be back.
All right. This is the practice thing. I gotta be good at not interrupting everybody all the time. George, sorry about that. I'm working on it, man. It's conversational weightlifting is what this is. Hey, speaking of weightlifting, JT.
Yes.
Hey, you know, now that I'm done with school and I'm not exhausted all the time.
Yeah. You have energy to go to the.
Oh man, it's actually booked. We're talking about the routine thing.
That's right.
It's planned, dude.
This is good.
So I think I'm going to start getting you to come out with me on weekends, dude.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, we will.
All right. I'm back. I'm back to being in gym, Michael. That'll be fun. All right. We're going to head now to Cleveland, Ohio, land of culinary mystery. And let's speak to Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama.
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome back. I missed you all.
We missed you.
Well, I did miss a day, didn't I? I haven't been feeling that good, but I'm getting myself together. Been diagnosed with high blood pressure and osteoarthritis, so it's getting complicated. Compound old age. I'm not going to say diseases, disorders.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, this is you know, I'm someone who I have high blood pressure because of the chemotherapy stuff and everything that happened to me back in the day, and you know, it's rough stuff. But I'll tell you, it didn't. It's been good for me to get that, you know, get that going and get it handled and everything. I had to make a promise to JT I was going to take care of it.
But did you get the pills you have to take every day?
I ended up having to take medication, and the reason for that being is for me, I tried years of the different stuff. I mean, I tried all kinds of things, Mama, And the reality of it eventually ended up being that, you know, it's a chronic situation for me. And
they made me take the pills, so I'm not happy about it, but sometimes I forget. And then yesterday, I think I ended up taking two because I thought I had forgot.
Oh, change your experience.
I know. I called the pharmacist, and I'm like, my blood pressure is like 117 over 79. It's so low, I don't know what to do. He's like, well, just lay down. He says, you won't die. I'm like, I don't even know if I could.
You know what? I bet you he gets calls like that so much, Mama. He's like, oh, great, another high blood pressure person who took two pills, freaking out about something else. We've had high blood pressure for a while. You know what? We're used to the anxiety. Yeah. We ride on the energy of that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because you're afraid that you're either going to miss a day or take a day.
Or you don't even, when you don't know, well, but even when you don't know you don't know you have it. You kind of have that little anxiety thing in a weird way. That was like energy for me. And the moment I realized that I had it and I started taking medication that dropped it back down, suddenly I was calm. It was strange. I don't know what was going on now.
I guess my body didn't know what to do at 117 over 79.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, what?
That's crazy.
She's going to be all cool in the game now. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we already knew that about you. All right, so I'm gonna step back. I'm gonna let you read, okay?
This is called Baffled in America, and it goes like this. Now, one of these words, this poem I wrote as one of the contests from Sinister that he had using rare or words that are not used that much. So, if I stumble over the words, I know what they mean, but I might not be able to pronounce it. So, you get to pay attention. One of them is P-H-L-Y-A-R-O-L-G-Y, and I think it's thyroology, and that's a person that just likes to play around with life. They don't have any meaning to anything that they do. It's just the art of being stupid, in other words. Okay, here we go. So the name of the piece again is called Baffled in America. As the old adage goes, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit. A lesson our chief statesman has learned all too well. The art of philology is the subject in which he prevails. Seasoned philologist, and is that which he gets the gist. He is not humorous, nor a gentleman in his speech. Civitical and malicious speech. Acts of the crass fourth grade bully, to say the least. Though the country mourns daily because of his trifiscal verbs and roguelit leadership, we protest as our ships sail astray. Quadmuller lasting for 4 years should be the length of his stay. Yet even the children pray this bad man away. Okay, the thought of his non-eloquence baffles and confounds the living, causes stress from his misgivings. We have concluded that he addresses the dead through his necrology-type verbiage. As we bewildered by the tortiloquy of his soliloquy, as he continues his shady charade, as the old adage goes, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit. We the people want to know what is really going on. Baffled in America. In peace.
You didn't choose an easy one to read, Mama.
Well, but it was still good. I miss Sinister, and I like the piece. I just can't read it.
It's not easy to read other people's stuff, though. That's the problem. Like it's hard to do. Good job.
He didn't write it. I wrote it. He just gave us the words a list of words to use, and I wrote it.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. Okay, but it's still someone else's words. I get what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, he gives us a list of words that are rarely used.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I did learn new word Philly-rology, and if you look it up, it means. It's hard to pronounce, but if you look it up, even the dictionary says it's hard to pronounce. But if you look it up, it's a person that that just plays around, like, okay, here, just plays around, doesn't really have a serious, you see, this was telling us how to say it. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, see, then it changes the word. It changes the doggone word. So the word he has is a rare word. It's phlyarology. So it's like,
well,
like the art.
Well, tell
the art
him thank you from us.
Art of bullshitting.
Yes. Yeah.
Mama, it is one of my favorite arts. Come on now. All right. Hey, I appreciate it. We all do appreciate it so much. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you during the return engagement.
Okay, I have something better.
Oh, that was just fine. We'll look forward to anything you have for us.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put it over in the other, on the page on Facebook so you could actually see the words and look them up yourself. It was just a fun experience. Has anybody heard from Sinister?
No. No, I have not.
Okay.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah. All right, then. Great. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Right. Thanks. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. All right. Now, Gumji, give us a call. We'll stall for a moment. JT.
Yes, sir.
What is the meaning of an apple?
Life, nutrition, birth, and death.
JT.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the meaning of it?
Hey.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Gumji, how's it going?
Back again.
We got you
sorry
now.
Sorry about that.
Now you're officially right on the air now. We just took you on mm-hmm. live. So welcome to the show. Now, let me ask you real quick before we get moving. How'd you end up hearing about the show?
Good question. I was just a random internet search and had just come up because I do a lot of I've been doing a lot of open mic and not able to get out, you know, every night
sure.
when I want to, and I thought, oh, maybe, just maybe, so there's something like this out there, and lo and behold, you guys came up.
We've been around for a while now. You're calling from, looking at your area code, you're calling from the Denver area, is that right?
Well, I have a Denver. I used to live in Denver. I'm currently relocated to Florida.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, we're based in Denver.
Leaving the
so
true
that's
sunshine
why.
State for the other one. Yeah, yeah. I get you. Okay.
No, yeah. So we're based here in we're based in basically Denver, Colorado, kind of Lakewood area. And
well,
so
I lived in that area for about 16 years.
No
so
kidding.
Near and dear to my heart.
And all you had to do was travel to Florida to find us, you know.
I know, right?
The prodigal poet is what it is. All right. So here's the deal. I'm gonna just back off. We're gonna turn our mics off here. We're going to let you share when you're okay. finished. Just say end poem, and we'll come back on.
Okay, great.
All right. The floor is yours.
So this piece is – the first one's going to be a short one. I wasn't really sure how many people, you know, might be waiting, and I thought, well, I'll just do something quick and kind of let other people get on and share their poetry. Kind of new. This is my first time reading. Long time open mic – reader. I read a lot of places in Denver when I lived there. Just thankful that this is here. So here we go. This is a short piece. It's called Collusion. Collusion. A shining new piece, half a blade of silk. All the cities swing to the lull. Lived around the law from the age of golden opportunity. Grew up separate, but together. Loved the wrong ones in disbelief, just to make it to surrender. Drink in the energy for the loss of one another. The accident timed, florid and unrelenting. And all that's been said hasn't bent yet one opinion. End of poem.
Congratulations, man. Great, great work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now,
yeah, thanks for having me.
That's a pretty fascinating piece, because I think you're hitting some really kind of on the nose themes, but you're doing it in a very kind of in a vague, descriptive way, which is a really cool style. I commend you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I've been in, you know, doing a lot of open mics. There's proliferacy of kind of what I call the long rambling style, almost kind of a storytelling. Nothing against that that style. I have some pieces like that myself, but
sure.
You know, brevity is, you know, when you can say a lot with just a little bit, I think is always a challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Absolutely. You know, we can get there. JT is always trying to get me to focus on brevity. And it tends to
right. Yeah. Hit them hard and fast, and let them think. You know, leave them thinking. What exactly did you mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. What do you mean? I look good. Do you mean good or good?
You know, you're not someone who overthinks things. You just go for it. Wait a sec. What do you mean? I don't think about things. It's. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, Gumji, we appreciate you, man. Thank you. And we're going to have another segment, not the one right after this, but the one following that, most likely, called the Return Engagement. And you're more than welcome to share another one if you'd like then.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Goodbye. And that was Gumji calling from Florida, even though I had a Colorado area code. Fair enough.
I will change that in my
list. Oh, I know you got it. I know we're good. We're fine.
I gotta keep track of this stuff.
Well, JT, for those who don't know, JT loves to keep data, and we're not NSA level. We're poetry level. We're WPOM level. However, we have way more data on all the calls and the length of the calls and everything, so we can actually look at flow charts during our meetings, which we actually have done, and it's worthwhile. So these are things that. By hearing me talk, you wouldn't think that there's any level of competency here at all, but yet, strangely, there is. All right, speaking of competency, let's go to the most super competent state in the union. Let's go to Connecticut.
But yet, strangely, there is.
To speak to Barbara.
Speaking of competency, let's go.
Hey, Michael.
Hello, how are you, Barbara?
I'm good. Did you really? You didn't really. Wait until I got here, did you?
Oh, no, with bated breath. I mean, it was really...
I mean, I am a celebrity now.
I know. See, that's we can't... The party doesn't start till the celebrity shows up.
Yeah, I had my reading at a... You'd think you were in the Walt Whitman Bicentennial Anthology that it would be something really, you know, paneled room, whatever. It was the Radisson Hotel.
Hey, the Radisson is fantastic. What are you talking about?
With folding chairs. No, you know.
Hey.
But there were people there to listen, so it was good.
Wonderful.
Anyway, this is from The Garden this week. I wrote this. They're my prompts, actually. The prompts are distrust and equanimity. And the prompt quote is, "The hottest places in hell are reserved for those who maintain their neutrality in times of moral crisis." Dante Alighieri. And the title is called, "Distrust Destroys Equanimity When It Comes Between Truth and Freedom." When trust is offered, it is a sacred pledge given to all as a fragile entity. It is proffered in a complete and open manner from the owner of information, sometimes too raw or too inflammatory to be held in check any longer. Trust is sacred and must be held in a special place. As delicate as an uncooked egg, it must be placed in a velvet pouch and held close to your heart so the shell will never break. It is the bridge upon which you can build, taking this offer and using it to add more and enrich. Or it can be used in a vile and unconscionable way to demean the one or ones from whom it was taken. We as a people have always trusted our leaders to do the right thing in the name of our union for the sake of the democratic spirit with which our country was founded. That tenuous bond between our governing body and us has been in existence for as long as we declared ourselves a free and sovereign nation, beholden to no one, and based on the democratic principles of truth, justice, and equality. We have lived in relative equanimity with those principles. And though some have tried to break the thin thread that binds us all with heinous acts and despicable events, we have always known our leaders were, for the most part, honorable people. Men, for that is all our leaders have been up to now, who take that trust and hold it dear, who make sure they don't betray it for any reason, no matter the cost, and who protect us as if we were their own children from harm by outside forces. And now this trust has been betrayed by a leader who has run roughshod over our rights and who believes his way is the only way, who has put his own life in front of others, and who tortures the innocent for wanting to be part of our country while he makes up lies to keep them in pain. This is a leader who obtained his spot by nefarious means, using the help of an enemy, and who has only a few who still believe he is in the right, who stamps on the American flag every day with his golf cleats, and who hides behind the criminals he has appointed to keep him there. Can we remain neutral while this is happening to our country? This cuts to the soul of who we are as a people. We are not who this impostor wants us to be, applauding the rich and demeaning the poor, watching as friendships built over decades disintegrate from his antics. No, in this sea of disaster and chaos, no one can watch and not wish to eradicate this menace who has taken hold of our government. He is a succubus upon our democracy, and we must expel him as all parasites must be removed to have our life back again. End poem.
So, Barbara, first of all, very well done. Second of all, you know, I'm so not sure what to make by the vague imagery. Are you referring to your hatred of Santa Claus again? Is that what this piece was about?
Exactly.
The
yes.
Criminals
no
to keep him there.
No hate speech on this. No, right. No hate speech on this. No.
No. I wasn't saying that. I'm just kidding with you. No, I appreciate it. And you know what? This is, it's that stream of consciousness stuff that you really feel developing. You know, as you're experiencing the world, and that's very authentic. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my gut feeling.
Yeah.
That came out when I did those prompts. I said, "Oh my God, I know why I did those prompts."
Yeah.
It's just something that I don't think many people who are artists or poets can stay still in an environment like this. And I just had to put the words on paper, so. There you go.
Makes sense to me. I appreciate it. And I know JT and I both do. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you
thank
during
you.
The return engagement, okay?
exactly. Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye, Mike.
Goodbye. And that was Barbara Kahn from Connecticut, Land of Enchantment. Okay, now we're... now... That joke's never going to get old, JT.
No, it won't.
By the way, can I throw this out? Back when I was running a radio station... So to keep you in line, this is the same sort of thing. So I was running a country radio station in Colorado Springs.
Right.
And we had to come up with what's called new imaging, which is like the stuff that Christine does on here, you know, where there's little audio segments.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And we had to come up with things for this guy to say. Those big voice guys, they sit there all day and just do nothing but record these for radio stations all around the world. So we sent this in. We had someone play a little boy and then him. And you hear this kind of wind outside and country music in the background. This kid goes, and this was called the new Cat Country 95.1. Dad? Yeah? How long will the new Cat Country stay new? Long pause. Well, son, how long's New Mexico gonna stay new? We had tons of stuff like that. So when you hear that and now you draw the line to here, it makes so much sense.
Oh, it totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting enough, right? Okay, so we're now at the end of our first segment. What that means is not to start calling right now. Calm down, everybody. Calm down.
I'm calm.
Barbara, put your fingers down. It is not time to call for the return engagement yet. That's not even happening yet. Right now, we have to do our first three clues of this month's Poet of the Month. Yep, that music can only mean one thing. And that means it's time once again for a Poet of the Month. As you can tell, we get caught in recursive audio patterns here very easily. But I'm going to snap out of it right now. See, that's the power of the Zen meditation, JT.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you. I've been working on this. All right, clue number one. Oh, by the way, for people who are listening, I need to say this.
Yes,
people who are listening for the first time, you don't know what we're doing. What we'll do is the first week of the month, I will read three clues, kind of giving the identity of a poet. The next week, I'll give three more. On the third week of the month, I will unveil who the poet is. And then if you so decide to, you can call in and share some of their work, you know, the next week or even that week. If you do figure out who it is, don't put it in the chat room. Send it to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. If you get it, then you will get to choose a song that I do during our Studio X segment once a month, which is where I perform live on the air. All right, here is clue number one. Music felt through fingertips. Clue number two. Words spelled without known existence. And clue number three. 60 signs make up a unique language. Those are your three clues for this month's Poet of the Month. And by the way, if you want to see those clues again, you can just go to worldpoetryopenmic.net. Up above on the top little menu options, you will see Poet of the Month is one of the options. Click on that and you'll be able to see our clues. All right, we're getting ready to head into the second segment. We need five more unique callers. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic, rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot. Hot, hot like this, I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back here in the second segment of the evening. We have two great callers. We got two for two, JT. Two for two.
Two for two. Oh, I need to mark this one so that... There you go.
Thank you. I don't know what I would have done.
I know. You would have been totally lost without that little highlight.
Our systemization matters.
It does.
Actually, it's...
Of all the things,
it's so strange.
It's such a great thing, though.
But, you know, let's just throw this together. You and I are pretty solidly Virgo, right? Both of us?
Oh, no.
You're right on the edge, though.
No, I'm more Libra than I am Virgo.
No, wait a second. When does Virgo end?
During the day on the 23rd.
Okay. And?
Libra.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
By how much?
Me? I was born at 10:30 at night.
You can't say you're more Libra than you're... Dude, I mean,
I
we're talking
cusp,
months
baby.
Here.
I am a cusp.
You're a cusp. Yeah, so yes. That makes sense.
Yes.
Because you have a desire to have things be beautiful.
Yes.
In the system.
Yes.
But yet you and I really take time to conscientiously make sure it works.
Very much so.
Right? And so this is how it happens. Yes. I understand. I get this. This is a weird conversation to be having on the air.
It's all good.
Okay, well, let's just do this. Let's go from that to something that matters. Let's go to Stan in Alabama. Good evening, Stan.
Good evening, Michael and JT. How are you gentlemen doing this evening? And welcome back.
Hey, we're great. We're happy to be back. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I am doing fine.
Good. Good to hear. Everything, the move and everything, I'm sure, is panning out.
Oh, finally.
Good. Happy to hear it. I hate moving. Oh, me too.
I hate moving.
Me too. Yeah. I just had to move about 12, 13 years of music stuff out of a music room over the last couple of days. But it's all done now.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There's that breath of relief right there.
That's it. Yeah, you just got to get it done and then move forward. It's time to move forward, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to step off. I'm going to let you read, and we'll talk after, okay?
That'll be a pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, this is from the Garden of Poetry and Prose off of Barbara's prompts, which were wonderful. And this is Where the Balance. These are times of our scattered ideals. These are times distrust rules the heart. So desperate to hold any icon as real, moral compasses not able to chart. These are times of manufactured rage. Voices raised, less of hate, more in fear. Yet common sense and reason seem caged. What chance if unity and hope disappear? Have we the strength to stand for equanimity? So divided, a chord seem light years from sight. Open to listen to words of perceived enemies while defending even their free speech rights. Will we condone the lies founded by authorities? Bullied by volume without validity or proof? Or rise above our timidity and complacency, demand our security be of transparency and truth? What of our people trapped in lives filled with pain? Unjust oppressed, trapped in despair, slipping deeper. Before our Creator, answer the question posed by Cain. In compassion, indeed, I am my brother's keeper. End peace.
Wow. I really liked that one.
That was a good
and I love the read, too. Really solid stuff. Yeah.
Thank you. And I got to give kudos to Barbara for those wonderful prompts.
You know, it seemed like it was really effective, and it was really one of those things that really connected with everyone on a very kind of relevant level.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I can feel that very easily. That's great. Well, hey, thank you. Thank you so much, Stan. And then hopefully we'll hear from you during the return engagement.
And even the After Dark segment.
Wow.
Until then.
All right.
Yes. Until then, on to the next.
All right. Thank you, sir. And
thank
that
you.
Was Stan Collinen rocking the mic from Alabama. Boom.
That trail off is kind of funny.
I'm going to lie from Alabama.
Well done.
All right. Now.
Yes.
JT.
Yes.
We have a new caller.
We have a new caller.
From the great state of New York. Let's go to Zach Ripley. Hello, Zach. Are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Hey, still have a job, still alive. It's a good day.
That is a good day.
Very good day.
Fair enough. I can definitely understand that. Welcome to the show. If you don't mind me asking, how'd you find out about us?
Well, I've been writing for 5 years, but I started reading my poems to people this year, and I haven't done an open mic or anything yet, so I was looking for open mics in Rochester, because that's where I live, not Rochester, New York,
okay.
And I found you guys, and this poem that I have to share is actually inspired by the prompt you guys had on your Facebook page, the about writing about writer's block being something that physically chases you.
Yes, I wrote that one, and I thought it was pretty funny, and I could identify. So I'm going to step back then. We're looking forward to hearing it, and the floor is yours.
All right. Thanks, guys. This poem is called Everything Is Not What It Seems. Lately, I've been afraid to sleep. Every time I start to dream, I'm greeted by a banshee scream. I find myself running, but don't seem to go anywhere. It feels like I'm on a set of M.C. Escher stairs. Eventually, I end up stumbling and fall. And when I look up, I see the scariest thing of all. She showed me a vision of a wall. Engraved in the stones were all of the words I had been dying to say. I thought I lost them, but there they were, just a few feet away. The banshee screamed again, and the ground started to shake. The wall started to crumble, and I knew I needed to fight. There was too much at stake. I closed my eyes and focused on trying to breathe. Then I started to believe. I believed in myself, that I'd find the words again. And just like that, when I woke up, I found them right where they should have been. Bottom line, don't be afraid to dream, because eventually you will realize everything is not what it seems. End poem.
I love that line. I really love that last line there. And great piece.
Yeah.
That was really enjoyable.
Thanks.
Wow. And you know what? Congratulations for coming out and sharing. I think that's, you know, writing, a lot of people write poetry. Not a lot of people can get the courage to come and share it with a community of people. And I will say the community here is a really supportive one. And it really does matter to have a group of people that are there to support you and that you can, you can kind of be a part of as well. And you're absolutely welcome anytime. That was fantastic. And if you have anything more you want to read, we're going to do a segment after this called The Return Engagement, where anybody who's already called in can call again and share. And so you're definitely recommended for, or recommended, not recommended, invited. That's the word I'm looking for. Invited to call that again if you so would like.
All right. Well, thanks for that.
You got it. Hey, so I'm gonna wrap up the call and just announce you again. I'll say this is Zach Ripley from New York. Thank you so much, and we loved having you on.
All right, thank you so much.
All right. So, JT.
Yes, sir.
I need you to stall for a second because I've got to pull something up that disappeared for no reason.
You know, I'm just stalling for
no reason. I'm working on a new computer. And,
yeah, that's
true. Well, not a new-ish computer, so things are a little bit different.
You.
Yeah. New
well,
to
yeah.
me.
So when we did go out to Michigan, we got a whole case of Kroger water.
How'd that go?
It was fine. it was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And they're bottled in the same place as our local King Soopers, which is also Kroger.
Oh, really? Water.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's all bottled in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Hey, you
did
know
that,
what I think?
Did that take enough time for you?
I think, yes, it
oh,
did.
Good.
You know what I think we should really do? Is I think we're going to, I'm going to steal an idea from some students of mine in my class.
Yeah.
So I taught a class of kids how to do podcasts.
Right.
Right. And they had their own. They've been up. They've put out multiple episodes. Well, there was one class that, or one group in this class that did a daily sports podcast. They're going to continue it through the summer. They were already hooking up semi-pro interviews on their show for their seventh grade podcast show.
That is awesome.
And one of the things they did was they realized that when they're doing a show every day, they might be reporting on a certain sports thing, but then they're going to run out of stuff to talk about. So they just built what they called the Sorcerer's Cup of Content, and they just put tons of random things to discuss in this cup.
We definitely
and all they
need
do is just
do
reach
that.
In. We need to get the JT Stahl Cup of Content.
You got it.
And so we will work that out together.
I've got a Jabba the Hutt mug that we can use.
You know what we should do, though? Do you have, like, a gigantic, like, Viking goblet or something like that? Because that's what I think would be great. We should get you a huge, like, we should make it an epic thing.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I got it. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
All right. Perfect. Okay. So, what the reason JT was stalling was that I had to pull this thing back up again, which is our June 2019 Poetic Form of the Month. And really what this is me just kind of saying, kind of detailing what a poetic form, this particular one is. And I'll put the link will be up on the site if you look up Poetic Form of the Month on the main page. And should you choose a write in it, great. It's not required. It's just for fun to see if it works out. The poetic form of this month is called a mondo poem. Here's the definition. Mondo poems are often very brief collaborative affairs that present a question and answer in the style of trying to glean meaning from nature. Mondos can be as short as a one-liner or as long as 2, 5, 7 syllable stanzas. The first stanza presenting the question, the second the answer. And here's an example. Here is a one-line mondo by Robert Lee Brewer. Why do winter stars shine brighter? I can't hear them laugh. Kind of cool. Here is a two-stanza mondo by the same person, Robert Lee Brewer. Why do winter stars shine brighter than summer stars? And why do I notice them? I can't hear them laugh, but I remember the way they once entered the darkness. And there it is. Mondo is our June 2019 poetic form of the month. All right, now it is time for us to go into what's called the return engagement by the French, but we call it the return engagement. And that means anyone who wants to call back in can do so. Anybody who would like to call and read for the first time, you can also do so, but it's not just going to be five. It'll be straight through. Once we finish this, we will end the show proper and go into our After Dark segment. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
That's kind of funny to play 30 seconds to Mars right before Draven from The Silent Still. it's not a Draven sound anymore.
No.
Back in the day, they were kind of it kind of felt like a similar aesthetic, not anymore. But welcome back, everyone. We are in the return engagement. Now, it's almost, for those of you remarking, it's kind of, a little bit slow of a night. That's okay. It actually is usually a slow night when we come back from a week off. And it's been so wonky over the last couple weeks. It's just been a strange time. So once we get into the flow, things start coming. It starts becoming a lot easier. And by the way, don't underestimate, we do the show here. The amount of people listening to the MP3 of the show, which is available generally about 24 to 48 hours after, is easily, what would you say, 600-700% of the people listening to the show.
Yes.
It's way, way higher.
Yeah.
In fact, it might even be more than that. So this is a show that's actually being preserved. People do listen to it, and it's really a great thing. But we've got how many calls? Excuse me. Ugh.
That was
the sparkling water. I've literally never done that on the air before. All right, let's do. We have six callers.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. So let's go right now to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Well, yes, I'm back.
All right.
Woo-hoo. All right. Yay!
I always knew we had it in this. All right. Well, it's been a quiet show, but a good show as well. And thank you for all the contributions.
Every show is a good show. Quantity doesn't always mean it's going to be less of a show, more of a show. So every show is good. Every show has good stuff in it, and we are so glad this show is here.
Hey, we are too. We are as well. And thank you for everything. How about this? Let's make this about the poetry. I'm going to step back and let you read, okay?
All right. The poem I've selected to read is more of a retelling of a story rather than an original thing. So I will not take credit for the story itself, but it is a familiar story to a lot of people. Some people it may not be. But the title of this story is Balaam's Talking Donkey. Balaam was a prophet, uttered words from the Lord, was headed to the promised land to take it by the sword. Now Balak, king of Moab, saw all the Israelites had done, the decimation of the Amorites caused other nations to run. But Balak had a plan to avoid extermination, offered Balaam many gifts of gold to put a curse on the Israel nation. Repeatedly, Balak sent princes offers of gold and honor sweet for Balaam to curse God's people and bring them sure defeat. But Balaam said, God won't allow it. But he must have sounded half-hearted, because he knew what God wanted. But with those princes, Balaam departed. The Lord's anger was now kindled, because on that journey, Balaam went, riding on a donkey's back, then God, an adversary, sent. An angel with a sword in hand was standing in their path. Though the prophet did not discern this, Balaam's donkey tried to avoid God's wrath. The donkey turned abruptly out of the path. Balaam struck that poor donkey sore. He directed the donkey back, continuing the trip once more. The angel now stood in the narrow path, a wall close on each side. No way to step around the angel. It'd be difficult to turn and hide. Next, the donkey turned hard into the wall. Balaam's foot got crushed in between. He struck that donkey now twice. He was getting unhappy and mean. The walls now narrowed even more. Only one way they could go. The donkey fell down under Balaam. Her rider, she did throw. Balaam's anger, now fully kindled, struck the donkey with his staff. This made three times now the donkey had suffered his wrath. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. It said, what have I done to thee that you have repeatedly hit me? Yes, you struck me now times three. Balaam said, it's because you mock me. If I only had a sword right now, I would not hesitate to use it. I would kill you quick anyhow. The donkey said, haven't I always served you, been faithful to your demands each day? Did I ever fail to respect your wishes? Balaam said, no, and had to look away. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel with the sword in the way. Balaam bowed, fell flat on his face, and listened to all the angel had to say. You ask, what do we learn here? What wisdom does this story impart? It's not enough to know God's will. You must also follow with your heart. When you do know God's will, there's nothing to negotiate. Don't be distracted by earthly riches and miss heaven's pearly gate. End of poem, a retelling of the Bible story found in Numbers chapter 22.
Very, very nicely done, Dennis.
Jeez,
yeah, like no that. Kidding. Very nicely done.
Well, it was like I said, it was a retelling. I can't take credit for the story. It's a actual historic event recorded in the Bible, and I'm just glad I could share it with others.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always.
And thank you once again. And I look forward to the poets that follow me. And I'm going to step aside and say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, leading us off in the number one spot here in our return engagement. We're now going to head to a little place I like to call Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, is that, what it's called?
Exactly in that tone of voice.
Okay.
Let's go to Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama. Welcome back.
Cleveland, Ohio.
This is Oladeji from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hello. How are you,
and
Mama?
I'm proud of it.
You should be.
Proud to be Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I shared a meal with these friends of like a good friend of mine had some friends from Cleveland coming into town for a day, I think, to go to the Great American Beer Festival here or something. And we shared a meal with them, and they were just talking up how great Cleveland was and how much they loved it.
Yeah, because we have good weather.
You got the what?
Good weather.
Oh, good weather. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah.
The greatest location in the nation. I don't think we had a tornado. We had snow, but still everybody loves snow until they have to drive. But, I mean, we get through the winter. But four seasons. And now with global warming, we got two seasons.
Two seasons. Really hot and 30 feet of snow. Come on.
Even before that,
Mama, it stimulates business. Think about all the kids who can make money shoveling that 30 feet of snow.
Right. Make money shoveling snow.
Yeah, I'm going to start an air conditioning company. Extreme weather protection company.
Skating on the pond. I mean, yeah, Cleveland had four seasons. We had a great time. You know?
Yeah, back in the day, Sonny, when we had four seasons.
Okay, I'm going to give you a choice. It's a poem called a long poem about cyberspace and the people who live there.
Okay.
Or Hypnotized Part 1.
Ooh.
I don't have Part 2.
JT, what do you think?
A long poem about cyberspace and the people who live there, or Hypnotized Part 1.
I'm curious about the hypnotized.
I am too. I'm all about the hypnotism.
Oh, that's just because you said don't read long poems, and you heard me say a long poem about cyberspace.
No.
Although you probably shouldn't have said that, but that wasn't why we chose the hypnotism thing.
That's what I wanted to say. I should have just said a poem about cyberspace and the people who live. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Hypnotized Part 1. Gossip. Bad news. Gossip. Good news to hear with so many variations, actions of wrongdoing, so few reports of righteousness. Lukewarm deliveries of truth won't wake up sleepers. Fire in my belly turns my tongue into a flamethrower. Family separated and strange due to rumors and snide remarks causing feelings of depression. Eyes cannot look up at God if they confess and free us. Life would not stare down with hateful eyes. I said life would not stare down with hateful eyes while looking up at me sideways, maybe the sweetness of joy could blossom in us all. If this strategic station were manned by the purpose of each man, our lives could be protected in spite of all the discord. I eat, I drink, I'm covered with a roof. I do not speak familiar jargon. I'm not my shadow, though. I cast one in certain light, but I am not my shadow. Do not second guess my shadow or what it appears to represent. Knock on the door of my heart and ask me what I feel. If you have recorded all I've said, then you must realize I also repeated things while hypnotized. Oh, yeah. I was also in a hypnotic trance, a victim of our circumstances, victim of repeated spells and shadows of symbols and stereotypes scrutinized under the microscope of envy. They have given us God's laws reluctantly and dared us to understand them, fail to adhere to the rubrics of which they said God said. They have decided their own fate and want to determine ours. They cannot determine mine. I cannot follow them who live as though they are exempt from the wrath of God. I must not follow folly. Whoever walks with wise people will be wise. But whomsoever associates with fools will suffer while hypnotized. I came too, to realize my Creator gave me free will to think outside of the structural tank. Overworked, underfed, weakened by beliefs and fear, I decipher truth and hate. I decipher truth and hate the liar. My belly burns, my tongue speaks fire, but I will never succumb to the illusions of my shadow. You have replaced my creations. You have replaced my Creator. Grace with your face. My Creator's face with your face. Sorry. You have replaced my Creator's face with your face. And then under the hypnotic spell, some still call you Master. You call us the N-word. Call our children pickaninnies. Call our human a fraction of a man. Chain reactions cause our hue tainted. Some say they love us, but hate us. Others, they really try. Some say they are proud to be human of a darker hue. Surprise. One by one, the spell is broken by the two spoken. When finally we realize, snap out of it, being hypnotized by those who are tagged by schism and separated by religion. Only the hierarchy are those in black robes who add insult with gavel. And men die without weapons, cursing and sweating. So colonized no more. Elders and grandmothers still have King James artistic cousins picture up on the wall. And she could barely read. Now I heard the pastor say, woe unto you who has galloped around the pulpit, hypnotized. When God meant woe, W-O-E, not W-H-O-A. Woe. You who are choosing to remain ignorant on purpose.
I think JT is hypnotized, Mama. He's just staring at the wall right now. That's Hey.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right.
Trap.
Turns out I just had to throw some money at him. He woke up real fast. That's pretty amazing. JT, there's something we should discuss here later. Okay. Mama, I love that piece.
That was really good.
That was really cool. We actually re-enjoyed that quite a bit.
Thank you. Woe unto you.
Well, my mother says that every time I talk to her. What's... Mama.
Whoa.
W-H-O-A or W-O-E? That's the real question.
That's funny. All right. Glad you all enjoyed it. I love you all so much. Thank you.
We love you too, Mama. Thank you very much. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
That was a great piece, though.
It was. Now, what would you think if Barbara tries to hypnotize us at the same time?
That would be really...
Be a surprise, wouldn't it?
It would be.
All right, well, let's give it a shot. Let's see what happens. Let's go to Connecticut. Let's talk to Barbara. Hello, Barbara. Barbara, are you there?
I am here.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Michael.
Of course.
Did I have to take that out? So I was, Mama, I I can't really follow her, but I'm going to try. I'm really going to try to follow Mama. Because there's so much power in her work. Anyway, this is a new piece that I wrote last night. It's called Thoughts While Eating an Andes Mint. I bite into the chocolate rectangle and I'm back across from the sofa, covered in summer wrapping of the same green as the wrapper I just rolled into a ball. I'm back in girlhood days, grabbing a mint from the dish Mom always kept out for company. The bright flavor propels me into that time in that living room. My hands are on the piano keys, practicing Furelise, until my brother wants to throw something at me. My pesky little brother, who is now much taller and who surprisingly managed to thrive and succeed beyond all of our dreams for him, who travels the world like crossing a street, as easy as that, and who, though grown older, still carries within him the mischievous little boy whose curiosity kept moving him toward the place he is in today. I see that spark still there, as he teases me like the miserable 9-year-old he was. And I rejoice in his presence still as we reminisce and catch up about family and friend news. We banter back and forth, able now to enjoy each other, and we laugh at the hopelessly in-jokes between us in a place neither of us had ever conjured those many years ago. End poem.
Excuse me, JT, would you mind?
Got it. No problem. That was really well done, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Michael, are you okay?
You induced coughing fits, Barbara. That was incredible. No, I really enjoyed it. I was listening to it, drinking some sparkling water, which is apparently my nemesis this evening. I'm having all kinds of issues with this.
Well, this came about. Last night, my brother and I went. He is a member of this golf club here. And afterward, we walked by a dish of these Andes mints. And I took a bite, and there I was. It just like you ever like bite into something, and it's like there you are, back in your childhood.
Yeah.
It was just like, wow.
I think, is it like kind of in a way, I think food can do that, smells can do that, and music can do that to me. You know, I think those are the three.
Yeah, I agree. Both. Your food, definitely, though. Some food just wham, you're back there. And so there it goes. Yeah, that was a poem about my wonderful brother. So. Anyway, great show, Michael. I'm not sure I'll stay for the After Dark. I don't know if I have anything wouldn't be repetitive.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Understood.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
So thank you and have a great night.
You as well.
Okay.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut here in the return engagement. She's in the third spot here. All right. We're kind of moving a little bit slower on this one, aren't we?
It's okay.
All right,
we're okay.
We're still doing fine.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's head to Michigan and visit once again with George. Hello, George. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm here. It's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
I haven't changed.
Okay.
I just got older. I just got about an hour older.
I feel like that, too. It's pretty incredible.
At my age, you don't want to get an hour older anytime, but you do. This one's I wrote just I don't know, a few days ago, and it's called "Don't Ask Me Why." Don't ask me why I can't sing a love song, can't play the piano with you at my arm, can't make you a queen or me a king. Can't escort you to exotic places under foreign stars. You chose to be with me, Don't ask me why. You accepted my arms and my kisses, crawled among my blankets and ate my breakfasts, huddled under an archway in the cold rain, laughed when I fell and kissed my bruises, told fibs to your friends so you could be with me. Don't ask me why you made my mornings alive and my evenings too short. You were perfection. So when I decided to walk, don't ask me why. Why I must have cried more than you did. Why was I so reticent, so smug, so distracted? You deserved to know, and I failed you, cheated you. There was no other person, no other choice, no fears, no negatives, no reasons. Some angular or misguided decision loomed, and I took it, and I walked away. Maybe you were too good, too precious to keep. Maybe I thought I'd somehow wreck you. Maybe I feared I'd lose you. Don't ask me why. Perhaps I was afraid of a great life. So I left you crying in that room those many years ago, without a reasonable warning or explanation for your tears. And with almost no more contact with you, I just hiked. Damn it. Damn it. Don't ask me why. End of peace.
George, you're really hitting on something with that one. I thought from the very beginning, the idea seemed very clear and concise in a way that good melodies are. I like that. There's something happening there.
Oh, well, thank you. Glad to read it, and I want to do a few more things along this line.
Please do. It'd be great. Love to hear it.
Yeah, good show tonight.
It's been kind of a quiet one. I feel out of practice. I feel rusty, you know? So it's good to kind of be getting back into it, I think.
Yeah, well, it's fun. It's getting better every minute now that I'm done.
Hey, until I'm off the show, it will never be all it can be, George.
But I'm going to even hang around for the next segment. So
sounds great.
That's a switch.
It'll be good. It'll be good. I'm sure.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I'll move off and let make room.
Sounds good. We'll talk then. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
See you, bye.
And that was George calling from Michigan. He is the number 4 caller in this return engagement. All right. You ready, JT?
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to head to Gumji once again in Florida.
Oh.
Gumji, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. There's a Skype issue. If you could do us a favor, hang up and call us right back. We'll take you live. It's just a Skype issue on our end. It's a software problem, and there's nothing we can do. All right, if he's not hearing us, let's just hang up.
He heard us.
He heard us. Beautiful. I love that when it happens. And Stan, you're coming right after him, so make sure you are ready to go. Hello, Gumji. You there?
All right.
All right, we can hear you now.
I'm here.
We can get you now. That's no problem at all. All right, thanks for calling back. Sorry, it's a little bit of a software issue that comes up every now and then, and it's kind of hard to tell when it's going to happen. So,
gotta love technology.
Oh, you know what? I do love technology. I'll deal with these little bugs, even though they get frustrating.
Sure.
Because right now we can hear you, and
awesome.
You know, it's a good thing. So I'm going to shut up again, let you read, and we'll talk after.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay, this one is called The Bull. This one has more of a literary bent to it, I guess, than the last piece I read, because I like to change things up. I get bored easily, so the subject matter and the interest is wide-ranging. So here we go. This is called The Bull. The bull dreams of a better life, full of color and sound, dancing out of the arena with the wild gypsies and not chained to the ground. When he's not being killed, he's penned. But the bull dances in red. In red, he has found a temporary ally, though nothing will be discovered in its deceptive advances. The fields at night where he roamed are not over. Though they go on forever, he is no longer among them. The bull carries the turning of the earth like an impossible dream out onto the field and introduces fear to the audience where they would never go naturally. The women scream and the men shout, "What is honorable? The beast in the field? The man in the town?" Both become pure at heart while the bull stands ready before the sun to meet death. Defeat awakens the sword, a signal full of light, but the bull will walk away unimpeded. "We want to save him and treat him good," the revisionists cry. But the bull feels something else. The strength to break free with his subversive nature born again. Despite future killings, the bull survives within the image of the earth because of belief. In this way, it has assumed multiple forms. Its majesty paraded before the generations of people while passing through ceremonies religiously borne towards the sea. The bull with precision advances once again, a target set in motion to the blur of costumes and music fading among the blood and the roses. End of poem.
That was beautifully done. I see what you mean. It's more of a literary angle to that. But it's sure. Definitely the word play is definitely just as strong, just used in a different way.
Thank you. Yeah, I like a lot of symbolism in that particular poem. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Again, people can kind of pick and choose what they like out of it, and I think that's what the best art part can do, right? Besides inspire,
I think it's true.
Other people.
Yeah, no, I think it's true. I one of the answers I love. I remember hearing. I can't even remember who it was. It was a rock star, but he's a songwriter. And someone had been singing the song and had the lyrics wrong. And I think it was a carpool karaoke thing. And the singer looks at James Corden and goes, "What did you just sing right there?" And James Corden, you know, sings some line that's you know, obviously different. And songwriter goes, "Well," and James Corden goes, "Well, what's their actual lyrics?" He goes, "Doesn't matter. Whatever you hear, whatever you sing, that's all that matters. It doesn't even matter what I wrote." You know, I think in a way, as funny as that is, and it's hard for us as people who work with words to consider, at the same time, it really does matter what he heard, what makes him feel something. You know.
Oh sure, you know that's why obviously reading, you know, the times I've read out in front of a crowd, you know, because sometimes things look better, you know, on the page than they read necessarily.
Absolutely.
And, you know, reading is quite an art. I'm still working on it, but, just like in music, I mean, your performance, the way, what you bring to it in that moment, can really convey a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Absolutely. Well, hey,
well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. We really appreciate you calling in, and you're welcome to call anytime. Great stuff.
Yeah, we'll be back. Thank you having me, and thank you for having this forum. It's great.
Of course, no problem at all, and you're welcome. All right, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you later. And by the way, in case you didn't hear, there will be a recording of this coming out in about 24 or 48 hours, something like that, after the show's over, and you can just find it on our website. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was Gumji Khan from Florida. First time on the show. He's been laying it down, though. He's been doing great.
Yeah.
All right, Stan, by the way, now is your cue to call us. So, if you were, you remember Sesame Street?
Oh, yeah.
If you were a character on Sesame Street, what do you think you would be?
Honestly, I definitely not Elmo. I never associated to Elmo.
No, you're not an Elmo kind of character.
Maybe a little bit of Oscar, but
I think Oscar that
probably Snuffleupagus.
Snuffleupagus,
really,
I can see.
Totally imaginary, not really there.
Yeah, but a you know, a solid, use Big Bird's solid friend,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Snuffy had his back.
Yeah.
Hey Stan, how's it going?
It's going great. Snuffleupagus we're discussing now. Okay.
Yes, well I asked JT what character he would be on Sesame Street. And we eventually came to Snuffleupagus.
All right.
Does that make me Big Bird?
Snuffleupagus is a thing, but Dilly Dilly isn't. How's that reality work?
Hey, JT actually said Snuffleupagus was imaginary, so we can't even have this conversation.
Welcome to JT's alternate universe.
I really should make him a t-shirt that says that, actually.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Well, what do you have for us?
Well, what I'm going to read now is from the Poetry of Spring's Embrace, and this is off a very, very interesting prompt. It's a quote from Paul Verlaine, and the quote was, "Truly the worst pain is not knowing why, without love or hatred, my heart feels so much pain." That was his quote. And what I took from that, I wrote, and my piece came as No Solace. No solace in a gray stone and carved name. Standing in moonlit dark, cold pain, my companion. Cold is the gray stone with your carved name. Love? How? Where love? Without your voice. Where love without touching you? Where love without the taste and scent of you? Where love without your heart touching mine? All of love now trapped under gray stone and a name. My cold companion lends no solace. So of hate? Again, how? Can there be hate when I still hear you? Hate when I still feel you? Hate when your taste and scent aren't? Hate at your abandonment, though can still feel your heart? No room for that with my companion. The dark turns to gray as a mist. Lie at the base of a cold gray stone and name. No solace. Your memory surrounds me as the mist at the base of a gray stone. But your love as wisp of ether on winds of loss and gone. My tears should be gone. Arid as a desert, my eyes. Still I weep, searching the void left with my cold companion, only to find in this journey with pain, no solace and peace.
Wow. JT, what'd you think?
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Well done, Stan.
Stan, we missed hearing your work. It's when we're even gone for a week. It's really nice. It's really nice to be able to come back and hear work like that again.
Oh, I tell you, it's great to have you guys in this venue back too.
Hey, we are happy to be here, and we'll be here for a while.
And I'll be keep coming too, because this was the first place it ever started for me right here.
That means a lot too. It means a lot to know. Well, sir, we appreciate it. And are you going to join us for After Dark, you think?
I most definitely am.
All right, perfect. We'll talk to you very shortly then.
All righty. We'll see you then, gentlemen.
See you then. Thank you. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, wrapping up our return engagement section. So that does it for the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper this evening. What we're going to do is I'm going to kind of say goodnight. I'm going to sign off on that. We're going to play some music and come back and do a segment of After Dark. Don't call during that music. We'll prompt a whole new call-in thing. I'm just going to kind of lay out what the rules are and everything before we do that. But to end the main show, from myself, from JT, from Ursa the studio dog, and Novia the studio cat, thank you so much for spending this Friday evening with us. We'll be joining you again next Friday, so please come if you'd like to spend some time with us. And until then, keep writing. Good night.